find some work to do, hens. There's nothing to see here. Hi, and welcome to Actual Play, the podcast. This is Band of Blades, episode 12, part 1. We are in Fort Calisco, and the whole gang is here. All our commanders, Misha, Jay, Jen, and myself are here to play our standard characters. But it's a different kind of mission. We're inside Fort Calisco. We've got to find a way out. And also the missions that we have are tied around the peril. You know, not they're caused by the threat of the undead, but they're not directly with the undead. They're issues inside the fort. And so that's sort of a bit of a twist. And our Legion has to operate alongside other military units, alongside civilians. And we need to find a space for ourselves. There's some fun interactions with Commander Jonicus, who is leading the fort, who is a once upon a time fought alongside the Legion, but that was many years ago. Should have retired, but just wouldn't give up. A big fun moment for me in this session was when Jen framed the back of camp scene. Voyas was affected by his visions, which made a lot of sense because he had sort of exposed himself to the ghosts that haunt him in the last mission. And so we got to see some of the fallout from that and the way Miltali and Rhea and even the soldiers sort of took care of Voyas was very wonderful. It was very sweet. In contrast to the commander, who was like, how much more use can we get out of Voyas before the corruption goes too far? So that was good times. I really enjoyed that scene and the setup for our missions, Tarnished Clockwork, Onyx Depths, and Shadow Serpent. I hope you enjoy this time in camp, and next session, or next episode, will be the mission itself. See you then. Hello and welcome everybody to Actual Play Band of Blades. The Legion has returned. All the commanding officers are here. I am very, very excited to play this game. Today has been a challenging day for me, and I've been looking forward to this all day long. I'm Sean. I use he/him pronouns. And I can't wait to find out what we do in Fort Calisco. Shosh just sent us over the missions. I'm excited to hear what our commander decides to do. How about you, Jay?
I am Jay. I use he, him pronouns. I'm getting caught up. I'm fighting technology right now. I just brought up my Rule 20 and all that other good stuff. So I want to know, how do we get out of this fort? And catch up on what we've got built and figure out what's next. I don't even know who's next.
I'm next.
Jen's next. All right. Sorry.
No, you're cool. I am Jen Martin. I use she, her pronouns. I also missed last week, which I was bummed to miss. So I'm really stoked to play this game today. What about you, Misha?
I'm Misha B, she, her. I was here last week and there was some, it wasn't quite kissing, but there was definitely like leading towards romance between Miltali and Voyas, and I'm kind of looking forward to see where that goes.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
If you haven't watched the last episode, it was like the most action movie Michael Bay thing we've ever done.
It was
and there pretty
was
epic.
Still a love story in the middle of it.
There, well, I mean, right?
Because that's how we roll.
It was kind of epic. It was kind of epic. I'm not to toot all your guys' horns or anything, but it's kind of a really cool class in how do you push Blades mechanics to the edge? Because there's a lot of times where I would be like, this is a 10 clock, what are you going to do about it? And they're like, we're going to one shot it, watch us do it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, what's our position? I'm like, zero effect. And they're like, okay, how do we make that great? And so.
Yeah, and we did.
A lot of really cool stuff.
And then we did.
yeah, and then they did. So that's, if you're ever watching Blades in the Dark, you must see a GM just like drop whole like nopes on the table and the players just be like, but what if we do this? It's kind of a cool episode for that. Do you folks want a recap? Are you, Jen, are you, did you watch it? Do you have a recap?
Right? I didn't watch it. I'm a terrible lore keeper.
It's okay. And actually,
I'm planning a Kickstarter that's supposed to drop next week.
I totally understand. Busy. Misha, Sean, you were there with me, so I'd like you to help me tell the story, but I'll give us a little bit of a skeleton, and then you can say your favorite thing or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
We were locked out before the gates of Fort Callisco, and the plan was... Oh, so this mission requires horses, which is why the mission started with a 6 on the engagement roll, and it was controlled 0 effect. We'll get there. So, because apparently our quartermaster did not have horses.
I don't believe in horses. I make horses.
We have a steam engine. Why do we need horses?
Exactly. We'll see. So there's this battlefield covered in an army and this horribly toxic fog. And so they actually give their soldiering unit to Zora, who manages to pull Blighter. She attacks an entire flank, goes like nuclear with her hair and brings the flames. And while she does that, she creates like this pillar of flame into the deadly gas. And as soon as she's like done doing the fire, the empty hole remaining from her sword blow starts shifting with the wind, and then our troops have to ride down this corridor to this giant apparatus that is creating toxic chemicals that are going to be used in wall destruction and make it go boom, which they do. So, like, obviously that was kind of awesome. And in the process, they see Coneface, who's a giant 14-foot-tall monstrosity stitched together from multiple bodies because the undead are terrifying. And they decide that what would be a great plan is to sneak through the fog using the medic's deep so they don't have to breathe. Yep. And backstab this thing real hard. So they do that. And there is an awesome scene. Huh?
On shield, I believe Miltali dragged us on a tower shield as a sled through.
Yes. Oh my god.
Yeah. It's actually true. Using rage essence. They gave him rage venom, which he injected into his veins, pulled everyone through, and they sneak up on this thing. They roll like a freaking crit to like sneak up on this thing. I'm like, okay. And so they pop up on this thing, and they decide that they want to kill it in one blow. And I'm like, okay, well, here's a 10 clock, and that's not going to happen. And they're like, no, we're going to make it happen. So they give Mitali both the Hammer of Matiar and the spear named Sunrender. And he decides to make it desperate by pulling in more god juice than he rightfully should. Rolls a 4 to 5. Fine.
It was a controlled great to start with because we had such a good ambush set up. And then how about more?
Yep. And so obviously he pulls all the power in, channels the power of both the gods, fuses them, delivers a mighty set of blows, kills this thing. And then because he's like pulling in so much power, he like can't contain it and he just dissipates. Right. And I'm like, that's the 4 to 5, is like you dissipate. And John immediately messages me and he goes, "You're a jerk. I can't armor that." But Sean delivers this epic speech where Voyas actually like puts his hands on Mitali and reminds him that he doesn't believe in this god bullshit and tries to siphon off some of that energy and uses Bulwark to try and shield him because that will protect teammates from consequences during battle, which this was. And so he makes an epic resolve resist and the two of them both like come back down out of that like super juiced high. And then while they're staring into each other's eyes, the doctor actually gets them going. And as the enemy army is about to collapse on everyone, kicks over a barrel, Donkey Kong style, sends it like flying into the enemies, like shoots it with her pistol, blows it up, creates a pathway for them to run through. And they catch on to the tail end of the Legion as it enters the fort. So that was the episode.
Ride the steam engines on.
Yeah, you folks feel free to fill in anything that I forgot.
One of my favorite moments as Voyas, beyond the one that Strauss just described, which was definitely my favorite, was when we were trying to figure out how to get Miltali to like run us across. And as Voyas has backup, which is the ability to help other people push themselves, which is Miltali was pushing for effect so that he could drag us. And I remember the scene in Highlander where Ramirez is like coaching Connor McLeod, and he's like, feel the stag, feel the energy, run like the stag. And ran alongside Motelli until Motelli got like running full speed and then jumped on the tower shield, let him, you know, like ride us, pull us all the way through. And the image of that in my mind was delightful. And just see imagining Motelli just tearing through whatever got in front of him and dragging us all along. And then Strash going, what about your squad? And we're like, yeah, we'll send him a Zora. So you're going to do this whole mission with just three specialists. Yeah, we got this.
Pretty much, we got it.
You have a squad of soldiers. That's fine. Let's give Zora some grenades. It's cool.
It actually turned out that thanks to that scale differential, Zora was not only able to be unwounded, but actually made decent progress against the undead.
Yeah.
So the soldiers actually made all the difference on her end, too.
I also hear that Flavia's hair lit on fire.
It did. Mm-hmm. It did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not the kind that smells bad.
Yes, not the kind that smells bad, yes. Cool. So I believe we ran through everything last time, Sean. Did we do downtime actions and jazz?
We did
mission penalties and all that stuff. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we got back at camp and campaign stuff.
All right, so...
Did John do a back at camp scene?
He did, yeah.
Which one did he do? Do you remember?
He did two things. He read from the book of a time when...
Was wrong.
Yeah, it was wrong.
He jumped ahead.
So,
that's fine.
Yeah. And he talked about a time when the Legion faced a Shade in Dar, and we developed Crimson Shot. And that was the first time that it had... And we also developed the modern rifle because we had to use... There had to be something to deliver the Crimson Shot. So the first rifle made by the Legion, which we then hawked to the highest bidder later on because we got better ones now. But it's a collector's piece somewhere. And then we had a back camp seat where a bunch of refugees came and they wanted to be let in and something wasn't quite right about them. And the Grinning Ravens kind of were there, and so they kind of split them up, took their leaders to talk to the commander, had the rest of them sit in the mess hall and eat, and Zora was like, there's something wrong with them, and we realized that they had some corruption.
Blight.
Yeah, and so she...
So, which thing am I crossing out then?
Band of refugees, yeah.
Okay.
Band of
refugees. Sorry. You wanted to know the thing to cross out. I was...
Yeah. You're trying, like, to, you're trying to give me the whole picture. Thank you. Yeah, no, it's fine.
That's it.
Cool. Did we discuss the fort?
We talked about the fort. You mentioned two things at the fort. One, there are tons and tons of people here, and so there's lots and lots of resources. There's also a lot of conflict over what should be done with those resources. Yep. If anyone needs to know how to manage the resources, the quartermaster is... No, just kidding. The special rules of this place is that until we acquire an asset called a route out of Glisco, we can't leave. We can't leave, and we have minus one deed or engagement rolls.
So, yeah, that's true.
And I think the... asset rating of Clisco is 2D, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clisco is actually pretty well stocked. A lot of people came this direction and then they realized that they couldn't truly go further. So there's actually a remarkable kind of cornucopia of supplies. You can find a lot of things here. So that's why it's assets rating 2. It's very condensed. Like, most people, when you say the word fort, they think of, like, I don't know, like a wooden palisade. This is like a proper F-off, control an entire, like, passage kind of fort. Like, big walls, almost like a small city inside kind of thing. It's definitely not tiny.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. So should we do our back at camp?
Take it away, Lorekeeper.
Sure. We're still at high morale, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ten okay. Which one do I want? I don't want the one legionnaire stealing from another. That just seems mean.
Don't do it.
But my only other option for medium morale is after an undead attack, the Legion must break camp and relocate. And
I have a third option for you.
I would love a third option.
You could totally go low morale.
I mean, that was my recommendation to John for the game last week. Let's do it. So assuming that Zora has not managed to cure Voyas of his blight.
I don't think we've tried yet, no.
She took corruption off of some people.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
He removed some of Voyas' corruption, but not his blight, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to do a festering blight wound covered up by a soldier is revealed, because I want to see Voyas some more. Awesome.
I have a good idea for how that...
Yeah.
So let's talk about this for a hot second, just before we get to this particular mm-hmm. situation. Let's just establish a little bit of scenery. So this fort is commanded by a grizzled Aldermani veteran by the name of Commander Janakas. Everyone's kind of carved out little parts of the fort for themselves, right? So like you'll find people that like, they're bivouacked like around where the old marketplace used to be. There are some people that took over, like the guard mechanique holds like the old barracks area. So you folks are newcomers and you kind of have to squeeze in somewhere. So where does the Legion take up camp? Where do they sort of like claim is their area? Now I have to tell you this, there is no pleasant way to do this because a lot of like pretty much all the space is just used up, right? Like mm-hmm. people have been crammed into this fort, so you kind of have to shove some people out of the way a little bit in order to set up your camp. And where do you pick a fight with another military unit? Do you negotiate? Do you shove some of the civvies out of the way? What's the plan slash action here? Just so I know where you are when all this goes down.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm leaning towards negotiating with other military type folks.
I have an idea about that.
Oh yeah, because I was gonna say I don't want to pick a fight with somebody, but I also don't want to just shove around civilians.
I think that we could come in and speak presumably with Commander Janakas, who's in charge. I'm sure she has a lot of people want to talk to her, we just broke the siege that was on it. Now, yeah. I'm sure they're going to come back, but they had this big siege weapon that we destroyed, and I think that earns us an audience. And Quartermaster's perspective is as soon as we get in front of Janakas, wherever we happen to be standing, that's where we stay. So we sort of like meet, sort of like set up. You see, like, well, we're here now, and that would be Quartermaster's perspective on it. Is like,
I love
it.
That's perfect. No, I love it. Yes.
So Janakas's tent is on the walls at the moment. Although I'm sure he has an office down in the city proper somewhere. Do you shove like scribes and people that are kind of like bivouacked, etc., like out of the way and just set up. I'll make a call here. You tell me how you feel about this. You folks actually set up at like the equivalent of the city prison, because that's where Janakas is currently like headquartered when he's not on the walls. Like he patrols the walls pretty much down until dusk. He has like a big tent up there. When people need to talk to him, that's where they go. He mostly comes down here when he needs to do administrative shit. And so like a lot of the city's previous like not military personnel in terms of soldiers, but like military personnel in terms of like camp followers, laborers, that kind of thing, is actually like set up in their old prison. Because it wasn't super full to begin with. You get the feeling walking through this place that there's a lot of like time has passed and different buildings have been built at different time periods. This place is pretty old. So like, it looks like it was designed a long time ago to contain a much larger population than the Eldermani had stocked here. So the fact that additional people came, like at first they were like, oh, we got plenty of room. And they were like, okay, well, maybe we don't have plenty of room. And then they were like, oh shit, where do we put everybody? So yeah, I guess that's where the Legion ends up. Is that fair?
I'm happy with it.
I like it.
That works.
Continue.
Prison walls are as good as any other walls.
Yep.
Yeah. Sean, did you have an idea about this Voyas Blight?
Yeah.
Totally. Situation. Go for it.
If you would like me to play Voyas, I would be happy to.
I would love for you to play Voyas. I'm just trying to decide if I who I want to have this come out to. If I want him to you know, be speaking to Miltali about it, or if I just want Zora to show up.
Yeah. Well, I have a very public scene in mind.
Yeah. Okay. Bear in mind that Voyas's blight is visions.
Yeah.
He tends to see things that aren't there.
So it's not.
It could be in the middle of camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. How about I open the scene and you can just say who's there.
Perfect.
All right. So Voyas last brought Miltali, like, in this mission, like, brought Miltali back to the world. But in the process, there was this sort of like fading out of existence moment where Miltali could see all of the ghosts that haunt Voyas, all of the friends that have died that Voyas
listens
to. And Voyas protected Miltali. And part of doing that was exposing himself to those ghosts and hearing their cries again, the things he's been trying to like tune out for a long time, tune out since he joined the Legion, honestly. Mm-hmm. So there's a scene where Voyas with his blue dyed beard and maybe just for the PG-13-ness of it, like a towel wrapped around him, but that's it. Otherwise, buck naked at like 5 a.m. is outside and he has this big Kingfisher blade and he's just like swinging it at the air and he's reliving this duel, this fight with a beloved friend turned enemy, someone he thought was a brother who he had to turn against when they because of some horrible circumstances, and he's just shouting at, let's see, what's a good name, Ulrich. He's just shouting Earl Ulrich's name and reliving this conversation and this fight, and it's very, very clear that there's no one else there, but in his mind it's as real as if it had still been happened, and he doesn't seem to see anything else, and people are like having to dive out of the way. He's not paying attention to the world around him. He is a problem that someone is gonna have to deal with. So that is that's how I'm going to start off that scene. And then, Jen, you want to
fill in? Yeah. So I'm going to play Rhea, but I'm going to say even before we see her on screen, she has heard the commotion and goes to get Miltali, who I would like Jay to play. Misha, is there somebody you would like to play here? It's up to you. I don't have strong feelings either way. I definitely wanted to see Miltali.
I would be random soldier C in the background going,
great.
What the hell?
Yep.
Oh, cool. Perfect. We don't have any random soldiers anymore. You'd be great.
They all have names.
I know. Have names. But yeah, I got to figure out which one I want to be. So,
got it.
Cool. Miltali, Rhea has just woken you up out of maybe a sound sleep. I don't know. And demanded that you come with her and, you can probably, it probably takes like 3 seconds for you to like snap to like understanding what she's saying. And then the next time like Voyas like shouts or something, and then it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. So we roll up and there's Voyas in a towel swinging Kingfisher sword around NVD.
Yeah.
And Rhea, all the
scars on his chest and his back from battle wounds.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Oh my God.
Here we go. We're placing bets on how long the towel stays on.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It looks, it's very anime. It's very precariously tied right now, right? Like it's amazing for all the leaping and jumping and he's doing that. It stayed on.
Well, nice. And yeah, I'm getting a very like Evangelion, like the camera pans and then there's just a barrel in front of him strategically. Yeah. So Rhea turns to Miltali and says, I mean, I can give him something, but you got to hold him still for me.
Let me talk to him first.
Okay.
If that goes poorly, I will hold him. Be ready.
Okay.
I tried to get in front of Voyas's vision, in front of his face. Well, not in front of his
that's
face.
That's also but... in front of his sword. Is that okay?
yeah, that'll be
this is
okay.
My favorite pull quote. It's also in front of his sword.
But I want to, not in his face, but in front of his vision.
Okay.
And I call out to him, Voyas, the battle is over.
Finally, you coward. You have the courage to say my name.
Oh, this is bad.
It is bad, Ulrich. What you have done is horrible, and it cannot be forgiven. Tell me you are here to make amends. Face me like a man. I will cut you down this day.
I'm here to make amends. You're right.
Where is your sword?
I will not fight you.
Well, I will slay you then.
Then you will slay an unarmed man. I will not fight you, Voyas.
There's no redemption for you. I think Voyas charges you.
Oh!
I mean, I don't think he's 100% with it. I think you can knock the sword aside. I don't think this is a lethal blow, but you know, I think probably it's really easy for Miltali because Voyas telegraphs it so far. Like he pulls the sword back and he comes charging. We see his, I think the camera cuts from just like his chest, his like waist up to that. It cuts to just his feet and like stomping in the mud, you know, and the angle comes up to see you and you can totally see it coming. Like being crafty right now.
Right. I think Miltali tries to wrap him up, sword arm, everything, tries to kind of get him all entangled up so he can't swing that thing around.
Yeah.
Maybe even take him to the ground, right, so we're both on the ground.
Yeah, I think now we're rolling around in the mud.
Right, yes, yes. HBO style.
What is Miltali wearing? That's what I would like to know.
Well, you just woke him up, right?
Yeah.
So I think he probably just has, like, a short... sleeping pants on.
Yeah.
It is getting close. Actually, I think you're very near winter, and you're not quite up in the mountains yet. I would say it's kind of cold. You might have like actual sleepwear.
Rats.
Maybe he's got a onesie.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Like long johns or something.
Yeah, like long johns.
So
yeah.
I think this is kind of ugly for at least for a little bit. Jay, you tell me how far you think this is go, but I'm envisioning you know, Al Swearingen and rolling around in the mud,
right?
Deadwood punching. Right. I mean, you try to speak to him, but I think I want you to tell me the moment where you do get through to him. I think at first it doesn't get through to him, but what do you think Miltali says that does finally like make him realize that this is not the person who betrayed his family and let then he would never see his family again.
I think if I remember this right, I wasn't at the session, but it sounds like at some point Miltali was dissipating and Voyas came to save him.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I think Miltali references that. What good is it for you to have saved me to just kill me this day?
Nice.
What was the point of that?
Cool. I think that it's reasonable to say that creates enough of a pause that if Rhea wants to come in,
I was gonna say, and then Rhea jumps on top of him and sticks him with a needle with a sedative of some sort.
Yeah.
So can I add a minor detail that I think is interesting? Which is blight is not just purely mental; it's also physical. So I think probably when you actually pin a voice and get into the ground, you see that his eyes are messed up. They've got like the white has turned black and his normal colored eyes now have like moon silver in them because that's where he got the blight from. Hi, kitten. So I think that I Misha, since you're playing the chorus as it were, would you tell us like how the soldiers are taking this? Like how is the rest of it? Because like initially you're like, yeah, let's all just bet some money and it's gonna be hilarious, but it gets kind of real. And you know, you see like Voice struggling and not hearing people's words and his eyes are weird. Like, how's everyone reacting to that?
I think so. As the fight goes on, you know, you're getting more and more of the soldiers, and then like at some point they like look around and they start like using their bodies to block it from everybody else, so nobody else is seeing what the hell is going on. And it's whereas normally, you know, you get two soldiers fighting and there's lots of yelling and cheering, they're just silent, just watching. It's like, oh shit, this is oh crap. A, it's our two heavies. B, it's our two heavies. Did I mention that part? Those guys, it just, you know, came back for that thing. What the hell happened? Was it really that bad then? Is that what happened? Is that what it happened? And so there's like very low murmurs of that, but like it's not like a normal, you know, oh, you know, two guys fighting. You can clearly tell a very different atmosphere.
Cool. Nice. I feel like that scene, we might have more scenes as consequence, but I think that's...
Love it. It's perfect.
All right, cool.
Thank you for that. As soon as you said that, I'm like, I know exactly what to do. What are those visions?
I'm pretty sure we did time passes last time.
Yeah, we did time passes.
So I think... Let's ask, does anybody have any more free play scenes that they want to have?
I mean, I always want free play scenes with Zionova and Rhea, but I don't have a specific one in mind.
All right, in which case, if you want to think about that,
yeah,
we can make Sean do campaign actions.
Yeah, we can interject free play scenes in the middle of campaign actions for sure.
I'm curious what the command staff thinks of this little fiasco and if they feel like they need to do anything about it.
Did Zora see it?
Yeah.
Zora, actually, so as soon as you folks parked, usually Zora's in camp, right? Like, she just leaves and anybody that looks for her will find her on the walls, staring straight through the fog at where Blighter is. Nice. Just kind of standing on the walls being like, sup, I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah, come at me.
Test your glory. So yeah. Okay. If somebody wants to fetch her, that's fine. But in general, she will not be in camp this particular go around.
Cool.
Like she's available. It's not like everyone's like, "Where's Zora?" Like right, she's. Right.
Right no, there. But if she was there watching this thing, she might have opinions. Sure. But I think Quartermaster is mostly concerned with can they get back up and fight again. And is glad that they were rolling around and punching each other in the mud, because that's
less right. Lethal than swords.
Yeah, exactly. Quartermaster's like, send some soldier, go grab his sword, get that out of there. Okay, it's fine. Get that out of there.
I think the commander is trying to gauge how many more fights Morbius has in him before we have to put him down.
That's amazing.
Right? It's a tactical thing, right? Do risk analysis. How much longer or how much more does he have to give before he's a problem?
What's his risk versus reward? Yeah.
Right.
Do you have a conclusion, or is this just something we see like the commander like staring at, like maybe they put Voice in like the actually, that's a good question. Where do they put Voice? Like, do they hide him in the medical tent? Do they put him in, like, the brig? Like, what's the... Do you just let him go? Like, what's the plan?
No, I think Metalli is, one, probably a little annoyed, frustrated at the rest of the camp. If they're looky, you got all those looky-loos. And so he feels kind of protective of
Voice. Okay.
And so I think Voice ends up wherever Metalli...
He's tending him like a patient?
Yeah,
I was going to say, like Rhea would advocate for Voice going to the medical tent because she's hypothetically sedated him. So yeah, right. If Miltali wants to come with, that's great.
Right.
Do you just like put some curtains up, or do you just like, if people find accidental boo-boos in order to like sneak a peek, do you just like chase him off with some growls,
Miltali? Oh,
like,
yeah. No, yeah, chase him off, yes. Yeah,
okay.
I call him Hens. We'll find some work to do, Hens. Don't you have chores? nothing to see here.
That's awesome.
I love this so much.
Indigo brings you some like real clothes as opposed to just your long johns, because it's getting a little chilly, and you know, you weren't in blankets. But the marshal is, the marshal's probably gonna pull like Rhea aside, like, how bad is he?
I mean, I don't like, I don't know how fit Rhea is to diagnose blight.
You can always study a person with research.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, she's gonna do that thing.
Yeah.
Listen, anytime you ask if Rhea wants to research, the answer will always be yes.
Yes, Rhea now has 3 research.
What?
I know, right?
I mean, she was playing Rhea. She got some XPs. That's what she did.
But yeah, I was
she also got a dot and shoot. Rhea as, got 2 dots Rhea, last session.
That Sean called me Jen.
Yes. True.
True facts.
What? All right, so I'm just rolling regular research. Yeah. I'll say risky standard, but like whatever.
Sounds good.
I got a 6.
All right, then. I'm going to say that, well, we know for a fact that Voice has like 1 blight and a little change. So you think that this is probably just a bad episode. Something triggered him, probably being close to those weapons and all of that.
It's incorporated for a bit.
You think that just it's like somebody with allergens, like, you know, mm-hmm. you might even take some Benadryl, but then like if something like crosses the threshold of what, you know, your medicine can cope with, you just you know, it gets
too much.
It's bad. he had a really bad episode, but he's probably not going under anytime soon. Like, if you can keep him away from gods and god things, he'll probably be fine.
No problem. Easy. No problem. I know. Yeah, so Rhea will relay that, you know. I don't think that it's getting worse per se, but
Could I add one more detail to that role, Strash? I think Rhea would notice this. Matali took a bunch of corruption. Doesn't have blight, but took 4 corruption last episode using Sunrender. So would Rhea also perhaps pick up that, like, that spear is dangerous?
100%, right?
Like, contact with that. And, mm-hmm. like, I don't know that we actually fully understood how bad, you know, what it took to use the spear, because the quartermaster's been keeping it in a chest, in a box, in a cart.
Yeah, with nobody's
gloves made out of chainmail to pick it up with.
Exactly.
That's funny. Yeah, that seems like good information to have.
And I think the other thing that the marshal considers is when he wakes up, maybe having him take a quick chat with our chosen just for shits and giggles.
Does the marshal try to convince the chosen to do something?
Maybe we've seen the chosen burn corruption out of people.
Yeah,
we've literally burned.
And so couldn't hurt.
Well, I mean, Matal did actually have some of his corruption removed in the previous session, right? Like, he had 2 dots of corruption that we got in play, and that got burned out of him by Zora, which we rolled to see how well he took it, and it was not well. burning hurts bad.
Burning's bad. But I don't know how she can handle blight, and if she can handle blight. And so that's a thing that she'd probably want to have a chat about.
That's cool. So do you want to do like a free play scene where the marshal like finds her on a wall?
I would love to see that scene with the marshal going to the wall to talk to Zora.
The marshal goes, and she's wow, we're really high up. She's still not quite sure what to make of Zora. I mean, she's very weird. So, out of curiosity, we seem to have a slight issue with one of our heavies, and may maybe having a touch of blight. Is there anything you can think of to do about that?
I think Zora looks at you and says, he's been this way for some time. Why are you speaking to me now?
Mostly because I didn't know about it until now.
I'm so sorry to do this to you, Misha. So, Astrosh, I want you to understand that I think you're awesome. Fair. However, Zora's response is...
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Perhaps you should talk to your soldiers when they return from missions more carefully.
Perhaps.
If you want me to try something, it may kill him.
So there is something you can try.
It is possible. It is not guaranteed. When it advances that far, it's a bit different.
It's a treatment I would offer him. It's not a choice I can make for him, though.
It is not my decision.
Oh no, for him to even attempt it. That choice has to be his. That is not something I can decide for him.
She pauses for a second as if she's like checking to see if there's more to this talk. And if there isn't, she just turns around and doesn't say a word. She just turns around and starts staring right into that green fog.
I am not looking at her. We are both staring
side by side, staring out.
Yeah.
He's got like her hands on the hilts of a blade, and she's just looking out. And you look, and it's like, I don't know, it's like morning light, right? Because like this all happened at like 5 a.m., right? So it's like before the light even came into camp. But now like the light is, east is the mountain range, right? So it's light actually happens very late in the day. And you see it like, you know, bursting over your shoulders, and you're casting shadows, and there's just this field of roiling, horrific green fog. And Zora is just staring right into it like she can see right through it and what she's looking at. So yeah.
Nice. So you like her odds? She's like making bullshit.
Oh my god, the marshal is always so like tough, and like all the soldiers are always coming whining to her about one thing or another. I love seeing her like being like, so.
I think this is the first time you actually see her smile, right? And she just like shoots you that brilliant smile, and she says, Blighter ran from me. Like, that's all she says.
I'll take it. And so yeah, the marsh comes down because she doesn't like heights.
You should put that in her character sheet, just saying.
Oh, doesn't like heights.
Nice. You know, someone come back.
Oh, the high road's coming. Yeah.
Good times. Should I do a couple campaign actions?
Sure.
All right. I want to talk to you, Commander, about what campaign actions I'm going to do. Actually both Commander and Marshal, because it affects based on the missions we're going to go on. Right. So I'm going to go... give that to chat. Boopily boop.
Boopily boop.
So we should all as a group have a discussion about these. Did I mess up the... Nope, I got the names right. Yeah. Okay. So real quick, just so that you folks know this, when I rolled missions this time, I arbitrarily rolled a special mission. Nobody spent intel. It wasn't like... anything that happened, it's just I rolled a 6, and then this is advice for you GMs at home. There are some fantastic missions in Fort Callisco, and all three of them are super good. And so for different reasons, very different reasons, but I love all three of them. And so I couldn't decide, so I rolled a die again, and it came up with the Guard Mechanique mission. I, unfortunately, it has a special tag, and the tag is called Vital, and we can talk about it as a table. The Vital tag means that you have to do that mission as a primary mission. Usually those missions are very good, so it's not a penalty. It's fine. It's oftentimes you'll find the tag on missions that have like specialists only. Because if you send specialists on a secondary mission and they get a 4-5 and they don't have rookies, then they don't die, and it just gets, there's a lot of questions and it gets really weird. So most of the specialist only missions are vital for that reason, right? Like from a design perspective. But if you folks decide that you really just want to play through a different mission, we can talk about how to shift some of the penalties around in order to make it like work.
You could just not do it, right? Like we would take
the penalty. Yeah, you could not do it and take the penalty.
So we could do it as primary or not do it, but we can't do it as secondary.
Yes. Yes, we could do it that way. Technically, if we're playing 100% by the way it's written in the book, you have to do it as the primary mission.
Oh, we have to. Okay, cool.
I believe so. That's cool. But yes, I will double check the rules while you folks discuss. Because I know for a fact that this is in the index.
Nice.
I made sure it was in the index. Final mission 215. Here we go.
Well, I mean,
so
is, how long do we want to spend in Callisto?
Not any time at all.
It looks like we're probably going to want to take at least Operation Shadow Serpent.
Right.
Yeah.
That, or I send, who was that? Horse trader? Gray Wafting Smoke. He was a smuggler. Sure. I send him out to go find us a route.
Also an option?
It's a choice. It's an option. But perhaps we kill two herons with one stone.
So let's talk about the three missions. Yes. Let's talk about the three missions really quick. The first mission is called Tarnished. So Commander Janicus comes down off the walls and actually talks to the Legion. And Commander Janicus is very much like treating the command staff as equals. So you get the realization that he sometimes holds reins very tightly in town in order to like keep everyone in their place. But the Legion is pretty famous, and Commander Janicus has actually fought with the Legion something like 50 years ago or something when you guys were on a mission or something like that. So some of you folks may actually remember him, or you may be new or younger, I don't know. But he's mentioned in the annals. He's not... So he treats the Legion as if you folks are maybe confidants to a degree. So anyway, there's two missions that Janicus brings to you, and there's one mission that somebody brings to you against Janicus. This is orders. So the first mission is Janicus mentions that blight has been cropping up in town pretty quickly, and a bunch of people that weren't blighted when they first walked in are now blighted, particularly among the civilian population. And he's done some investigations, and he suspects that the Guard Mechanique is responsible. Now, you folks know that the Guard Mechanique is a very famous unit from Or. And they're very well equipped. They have some wacky stuff, all sorts of clockwork shenaniganery. But he hasn't been able to suss out exactly why or how this is happening. And they have very strong ranks and allies in the city. So he can't kind of force the hand because that's going to cause an implosion. And this is an enclosed space. Like, he can't just tell somebody to leave because he can't, right? Like you can't just walk out the walls and like F off. So the situation is kind of explosive, and he wants a neutral party, i.e. the Legion, to investigate and deal with the issue. And that's the first mission. That's the vital one that I talked about. The other two missions, the first one comes from Commander Janicus. Janicus explains that there is his second in command used to be this woman named Akara Lahazar. And it's a really weird name. Like, all of you are like, what kind of name is that? That's a strange name. The reason for that is she comes from a country that most of you don't know a lot about, which is Dar. As a matter of fact, like, if you see her, she is like bone white, has red eyes, white hair. And she used to be his right-hand commander. There's all sorts of stories about her. Like, one of her arms is actually clockwork. She's got like a mechanized arm because she lost an arm in battle. And one of the things about the Dar is that they're cursed, and people are kind of like, there's a lot of superstitions and stuff about them. So she had to return to her homeland every 2 years because the Dar have this condition where if they spend too much time away from their homeland, they start bleeding until they die. Small problem. Anyway, this summer, she was supposed to head back. And so, like, had everything gone according to schedule, she would be in Dar right now. and everything would be fine, except for the fact that they're in a fort surrounded by undead. She can't just like F off and cross the plains. Like there's nothing going on. So she started exhibiting signs of the beginning of the curse. Like she's starting to cry blood and like stuff is going bad. And so she's actually given up her post and given up her position. And because like she doesn't believe that she's going to be on her feet much longer. But there is a set of empire tombs that are underneath this fort. Another catacombs, and they've got like revenants and other nasty shit in them. And Jonicus, like most of the other units here, are just like, no, we're not going to help Adar. They're cursed. We don't want to go into an icky place because of some cursed person. That's weird. But Jonicus is like, look, you know, there is like a protective item that was given to like an old lover of an emperor, like somewhere in those tombs. And if you can get it, it'll probably stave off any effects for like a significant amount of time, like maybe even like up to a year. So he's like, if you can spare a unit to help her go into those catacombs, like I would really appreciate it. And I'll give you some money, right? Like that's the supply. I think that's on that. Oh, no, wait, no, there is no supply. My bad. It nets you an officer. It nets you a super sweet officer. So yes. And then the last mission is there's a bunch of smugglers in town and they're just like, so you have been in town for a while and we don't think that you work for Jonicus. So here's the deal. Jonicus has all of the like blackjack and stuff like, and food and supplies and all sorts of stuff. And it's kind of like inside that prison complex. And if you help us lift the supplies and smuggle them out of the city, we'll teach you the secret route that actually goes under town. And Jonicus also hates that because he's like, no, we have to plug all the entrances into the fort so the undead can't sneak in. But the smugglers are like, but profit. So, you know. So yeah, so that's the three missions. The top one is the, you know, why is there blind in town? The second one is like, do you want a sweet officer, but you have to go into tombs? And the final one is secret sneaky spy / smuggly operation. It's very Blades.
I want to do all of them.
Yeah, let's just cover them all. Sure, that's no problem. Quartermaster.
Actually, that's not true. I really just want to do the second one. I don't care about the other ones at all. I just want the second one.
We know what's going on.
I mean, also, like, I was telling Sean, like, I got some of the secrets out of Strash way back when, and I'm starting to see some of these hints of things coming out, and I, lore! Sorry.
Well, I will point out that I am not resuscitating our heavies or our medic this time. We got too much stuff to do. So the people we have are two scouts, a sniper, an officer, and yep, that's it. Two scouts, an officer, and a sniper. So if we want to do a scout. What's that?
No, wait. Mary said two scouts.
So if we want to do an assault mission, we have Victoria, our sniper. If we want to do a religious mission, we have Zionova, our officer. If we want to do a supply mission, we have Zionova, our officer. I think that's what we need for those. So we can do any of the missions. But Rhea may be able to go back into the field. Nope. Rhea's in bad
form. She's super stressed.
I mean, maybe she has to go anyway, but I'm not doing Liberty.
Yeah. I mean, she's got two stress open, and she has no wounds, no harm. So, I mean, she could.
It's perfect for a secondary mission.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
So are Multali and
Neither of them took wounds.
Because they didn't take wounds.
So, philosophically, I don't think the marshal would like the supply mission, just because it's one of those, the stuff's being rationed for a reason. We don't just sneak it away from the people who need it. That's, you know, kind of doesn't feel right about that somewhere in there. She's totally okay with, hey, yeah, sure, we can help people get back from being cursed.
Can I just give you my heart, Misha? Because this is a standard Blades heist. lift some supplies, take them out of the city, no problem.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of awesome to me that I'm just like, do you want to play Blades in the Dark? And you're like, no, we're not playing Blades in the Dark. No. And it's yeah. It's kind of amazing.
We're not good guys.
We're
not in it just for the money.
Exactly. Exactly.
Blades, that'd be a totally different mindset. But we are the Legion. We are not.
That's actually really interesting to me, because one of the first questions that you ask when you're making a hack is like, how is this different from its originator, right? And it's not just the setting, it's the entire mindset and playstyle becomes very different. If you threw this pitch to a Blades crew, they'd be like, oh, money! So
give me the goods. So you said that Jonicus served with us in the Legion a long time ago.
Yep.
You said 50, like, is he a...
Yeah, he's in his 60s. Like, I threw out the 50 years ago, like, a little cavalierly, but yeah, it's been, like, decades. Like, decades, yeah. Over 30 years ago, this man's been... He's a general. Like, he's an Aldermani general with friggin', like... He's actually got, like, the twin spears on both of his collars. Like, he's got three of them, like, running down each. Like, it's the equivalent of, like, a 3-star general or something like that. Like... You get the sense that he was given, like, the Aldermani military was like, dude, you should retire. And he's like, F you, I am career. And they're like, all right, do you want a nice fort to, like, have, like, a view of the mountain? Like, a job. And he's like, fine. And then when the undead came, he's like, I'm holding this down. So, like, this dude's been around for a while. Like, he's, I'm maybe making him a little more blustery than he actually is personality-wise. He's measured. He's fought serious battles, and he's like, he doesn't think that he's going to win here, but he's looking at the war as a whole. He's like, no, we're going to hold. I'm going to defend the people in this fort as long as I can, and I'm going to stop the undead until my dying breath. Like, they're not getting past here as long as I can stall them. And if they do, I'm going to try and, like, force them to give up some of their forces, like, make it just difficult, fuck up their supply lines, like, all that stuff like that. So, like, he's playing the long view, and you get the sense from talking to him that he doesn't expect to survive. He's just like, this is my last stand. I'm going to make it good. But he's not playing suicidally, right? Like, he's not doing, like, stupid sorties out of the walls and, like, you know, he's playing the long game.
Harass. Make it expensive for them.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's, like, white-haired, you know, like, he's grizzled. Like, he's got, like, the white, like, beard stubble.
Quartermaster is old. I think Quartermaster served with him a long time ago.
Sounds good.
I think he was commander of the Legion when Quartermaster was, but yet a fresh-faced recruit. I mean, if he's the commander, it makes sense.
Jonicus?
Yeah.
You generally don't leave the Legion like that. Jonicus was part of the Aldermani military, but he fought alongside the Legion, like,
in the same war or action.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So he's, like, familiar with you folks, and he has respect for you folks, but he was not Legion himself.
Got it. Yeah. Quartermaster is like, he is not an enemy we want to make.
Duh. I'm pretty sure I said that. So
Commander, it's your decision, but I agree with our marshal. In fact, I think we should tell Jonicus. I think we're not gonna win any favors here. The smugglers are not going to be our friends, but I think we should tell them about the routes out, so we can plug them behind us.
Yeah, but shouldn't we get a route out before?
Right, that's what I'm looking at. We don't have a route out.
Right.
So the commander, I think, unless someone's got an idea about a route out, I think the supply mission is on the table. I don't know if we have to do the assault or not.
Can the quartermaster acquire a route out?
Yeah, it's an acquire assets action. Yeah, yeah. You just have to come up with a plausible story.
All right.
It was really funny because, like, when we originally wrote it, we were just like, you just have to acquire a route out. And then every time people got to that point, they're like, how do you acquire a route out? So we're like, I don't know, maybe smugglers or something? Like, whatever sounds good. Yeah. So we actually put that in the book just to make sure that people have at least one option, but anything will work. You can acquire it. Anything that you can give me some reasonable story. If you're like, yeah, well, those catacombs probably access some like waterway, but how are we going to get our wagons through? Maybe that's the thing we have to research, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I think Quartermaster has a decent sense of the resources of the skills of some of our folks. I mean, not to the degree that Marshall does, but he definitely knows who he picks to send to do things. And he says the Ravens have succeeded in many missions because their corporal has found ways to get them through places they shouldn't have slipped into. You remember the story of sneaking into the church just beneath the Black Oak Knights' noses and posing as them? We send Grey Wafting Smoke. He knows he's a former smuggler. He can find us a way out. And I propose that we have Grey go pose as one of them and trick the smugglers into revealing their ways out. He's done it before.
Nice.
I know you normally make an asset. I mean, you not normally. You make an asset roll, but I'm looking at Smoke's sway and scout and the fact that he was a former smuggler, and I think he's the perfect soldier for the job.
Jay, do you want to roll two dice, see what kind of a route you acquire here?
Why do I have to do it?
Oh, because you usually play Grey Wafting Smoke. That is, oh, that's a really great image for Jonicus, actually.
Welcome. Right. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
2d6?
2d6, yeah.
All right.
Five. All right. So you acquire the asset. It's not particularly fine. It might be a little sketchy, but
right.
You acquire it. Yeah.
All right. No problem. So with that...
And that's one of our campaign actions, by the way.
For those of you that can't see my webpage or Misha's image, she sent a picture of Sean Connery. It's very good. For Jonicus. Anyway, continue. Right, sorry.
So then I think we're down to the assault and the religious mission.
Yep. Well, and one of the assault has to be primary supposedly, according to the rules. So that makes the decision easy.
No, it does.
I'm flexible. I'm willing to talk to you folks if you really don't want to do it. Like we could do something else. But yeah.
Well, I'm thinking, isn't the assault as a secondary? Isn't that a bit lethal then?
It depends. So traditionally, on a secondary mission, the only people that die are like the support squad. But because there is no support squad in this instance, that's why like it's vital. So if you folks really want to play something else. We could talk about attaching a squad to that just to make it fair. We can talk about it. I'm flexible in the sense that like I don't want to run a mission and just be like, look, this is the rules and we're doing it. So like if you folks are not into it, I do promise though that it's an interesting. So many of these have ethical dilemmas, right? Like, do you help smugglers? Do you help this badass one-armed Dar lady that I completely did not base off of Furiosa. I totally based her off of Furiosa. Or do you want to do this like investigation, which is essentially a chicken mission, right? Like it's, you send a bunch of specialists, and you have to make a bunch of social roles and see how it goes. Like, so.
Can't go wrong.
I was going to say, for what it's worth, I'm super excited at the possibility of the Onyx Depths being the secondary mission, because then it means I get to write a bunch of stuff about what happened after the fact.
Fair.
So I'm just putting that out there.
Nice.
Okay. So do we want to do Tarnished Clockwork primary, Onyx Depths secondary? Does that sound fun?
Great.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds to me.
Okay.
Jay?
All right, in which case...
I'm good with that. Yeah, no, I'm good with that.
You know what to do. Let's pick some folks to go on missions, pick our loads, get ready.
Hold on a second. I need to finish our campaign actions.
Oh, so I'm sorry. You did one, which was acquire the route.
Yes.
I'm morbidly curious what your second one is if you're not doing liberties and you're not doing rest and recovery.
Well, we need stuff, my friend.
I was going to say, he's doing clocks. I don't know. Gosh, he's always doing clocks.
We can use soldiers too, because you know
we do need soldiers.
So Shosh, I actually meant to ask you about this offline, but it's okay, we can have a discussion online. We talked last session about the steam engines and how they don't act as horses in a lot of circumstances. Like, they act as horses with the idea of helping moving the Legion, but they don't help us in any of the ways that we need for speed. So what I want to know is, would it be reasonable then to consider one of them a supply car, or would it be reasonable for me to make a clock to turn to add the capacity of a supply car to them? Because
yeah, it's going to be, I know this is weird, but it's going to be a 3 clock. We can make it by doing a 4 clock and just filling up a pie slot. I think it's actually pretty easy. They yeah. are hard hauling. They've got room. I think you can outfit it. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of World War II, but in World War II, when the American tanks would drive by, like, a lot of times when they needed to move stuff, they would just put like wood, they would just chop up trees and put them on the sides of them, put like big sandbags and stuff like that. And just, they had a lot of hooks on the outside so that like stuff could get attached to them and they could haul it.
Yeah.
And it was also used as partial armor. But yeah, that's a different story. Let's not talk about World War II tanks. Let's talk about the fact that you're going to attach cool stuff onto the sides of these supply carts, and they're going to haul it very efficiently for you.
Yeah, perfect. So yeah. we're going to turn these steam engines into steam supply engines.
Yeah, I think it's real lazy. The only reason I'm saying a 3 clock is if you want to do it with laborers, if you want to do like some sort of like, if you just want to devote one action to it, I'm just going to say that you can do it. It's probably the easiest project you've attempted so far.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Is I want to acquire the supplies to turn this into a.
And I'm not gonna make you roll. You just do, because what we're talking about is like well made hooks and like some tarps, and I mean like the stuff that you need. Your laborers are like, wow, you want us to build what? Like, okay, yeah, that's nothing. Like right. They're like, do you understand that you had us design like engines? Do you know how hard like engine physics are? Like right. We have to redesign the boiler from scratch. And now what you want us to do is put like 6 hooks and a couple of tarps on this thing? You know, like I'm not even gonna make you roll. If you just want to devote an action, you have a card.
All right, cool.
So now you've insulted the laborers.
Because I love this visual of the laborers just standing there looking at the side of it being like, wait, that's it?
So there's the sad part, is that the laborers, instead of getting to work on that, are being sent to do other stuff, because that's my action. Like, oh, that's what I'm like, yeah, you don't think I'm going to send you to do this chicken mission. You are going to work on getting us religious supplies. So
yes.
I have... yeah, so while there's a big spectacle, this is very intentional, while there's a big spectacle of everybody seeing these steam engines being like retrofitted inside, there's also a bunch of our laborers that are like hidden in tents, hidden in the prison, and we're like, okay, pull it out, you know? And that's when they're doing the unpleasant duty of making religious supplies, i.e.,
chopping up a body.
Yeah.
And like a cow.
It's just like a cow.
Like a cow.
Just like a cow.
Just like a cow. So with Flavia at the lead, I'm going to take my 3 laborers and put them on finishing the make religious supplies clock. So we now have... that clock is full because it had two. It had one tick on it already. And then
I just want to add one detail, Sean. When the quartermaster is like, you don't get to work on this. Yeah. The laborers suddenly come up with like 50 things they could add. They're like, no. But we can make it red. And like one of them's like, but what if we had like tarps to shade us from the sun? And one of them's like, I could put wigs on one. Like they're just they come up with like 100 things they could do to like make the job more complicated. And you're like, no.
So
they learned their lesson though.
Yeah, exactly. So Strash, how big of a clock is it for me to convert my snake killing scorpion into a siege engine?
It is one. Period. Yeah, a scorpion is a siege engine. Like literally that is a scorpion is a type of siege engine. It's cool. Like saying like, so my catapults, how much would it take to convert it to a siege engine?
Double checking. Awesome.
Yeah.
That leaves me with one action from the Hammer of Matiar, and also some alchemists. and I want my alchemists working on making us Blackshot.
Oh, okay. Well, none of them have the recipe, so that's going to be a 4 o'clock for him.
Okay. To make the recipe or to make...
To create Blackshot.
Cool.
So let me make you a clock here.
Nice.
Because otherwise it would just be an acquired asset action and you'd roll for their corruption.
Yeah.
Well, actually, let's go back over that. One of your alchemists is a moon priestess. Who are your other two alchemists?
My other two alchemists, why did I put them away? I just had them. I have mine alchemist, Ruben Garossi, who's from Barrack Mines. And
He would know how to make Blackshot, because Barrack Mines was literally designed to make Blackshot.
Yeah. Two of my three alchemists are from Barrack Mines.
All right, cool. So go ahead and just roll for corruption. And the way it's going to be is if you roll a 6, you get 1 corruption. If you roll 4 to 5, you get 2 corruption. And if you roll 1 to 3, you get 3 corruption.
I got a crit.
That means no corruption. You just make Blackshot.
Good job. Nice. All right. We have Blackshot. We have religious supplies. And next time we'll get some food. And then we will be ready to roll out of this place. In fact, you know what? Why not just spend the supply now? No, we don't need that. Okay, that is all of my... I'm going to update my quartermaster sheet, but we have all...
How are we on training the bandits to be rookies?
We don't have a... We don't have,
I have a clock. I didn't put it on the thing. I didn't. There isn't one. I have it on my sheet. I don't have a thing. We're not. You want me to jump on that?
We only have 2 full squads.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Okay, let me just double check with you. You do have enough to field 3 full squads, is that correct?
Yes, we could probably actually field 4 full squads.
Okay, but the reason I'm asking is when you go below 3, you just automatically lose the game. Yeah. So I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
All right. If you collapsed everyone down, you could get 3 out though, right?
If we collapsed everyone down, we could get 4.
Okay. In which case,
we're 7 soldiers down.
As a point of note, this is the last place you can recruit. Good to know for next time.
Yeah, I think I'm going to hold off on converting them because we can recruit here, and I'm going to do I'm really trusting that we're going to win this mission and get supply, cuz I can recruit and I can spend I can spend an extra supply. I'd be spending all of our supply and I can get 2 soldiers in the process.
2 rookies?
3 rookies, 2 soldiers if I spend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I can get us a new squad. I'm fine with rookies. We have enough soldiers right now. So yes. Marshall, if you want more soldiers, I will get them for you. I don't think we have to do it this mission though, because we'll have campaign actions before we leave next time.
Okay, cool. As long as there's a plan.
There is a plan, yes.
Alright.
Yeah, trust me. There's
yep. As long as I will eventually get my rookies, I will be okay.
You will get your rookies.
Alright, cool. So Marshall, are you ready to do you know who's going on which mission?
So which one are we doing as primary again? We're doing the
furnace clockwork.
This part would has to be all specialists.
So you need to send 4 specialists on that.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to send 4 specialists.
Yeah.
I might have to do a liberty action then. Or we're sending people.
Sean's only spent the supply. Well, this is what supply is for.
Yeah, all right. I'm gonna make your job easier, Marshall. Fine. I will spend 1 supply so we can in fact have liberty.
All right. Liberty removes how much stress?
4. Because we're still. And if we happen to have anybody that is noble, they can I don't think we have anybody that's noble that is stressed.
I believe you are correct.
So. Cool.
All right. Then that gives us some options now.
If it helps, you can send a or two specialists on the secondary one and decide whoever that is, and then just
everybody else. Yeah.
What do we need for what do we need for religious missions? Marshall?
That's what I'm trying to find my sheet. Hold on. Yes. Religious, we need a officer or a medic.
Zino and Rhea just never get to go on missions.
Anymore. I know. I hate it, but I love it.
I would say as a player, I would love to play Zinova because I haven't gotten a chance to play her in a long time. But, okay.
Yeah, Rhea can do the secondary. That would be fine.
Yeah, let's do that. So we will send... Well, Tali, I'm going to have to tear you away from your beloved bedside. I'm going to let Voyas sit this one out. So we're going to send...
Yeah, we don't want to send him on the religious mission.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to do that.
So we're going to send... Yeah. So we'll send Cobalt Raging Blaze, Zionova, the Sniper, and the Scout on the primary. And we'll send the Medic... and Metalli on the secondary with, do you have, okay, so if it's all specialists, I don't have to send a squad at all for the primary, correct?
Correct.
Okay, then we will send.
That's the advantage, right? You got no rookies you have to sneak around or anything. You just...
Yeah. If we want best engagement roles, we can split up Zinova and Victoria because they both have strategist.
Oh, that's a good call, yeah.
Strategist.
Thank you.
Then let's send the Victoria on the secondary and Montalia can come on the primary. Yeah.
Looks good.
And then the secondary we will send let's send the Lions.
Do we have five soldiers that can go on the secondary that could take harm if we don't roll well?
They will die.
They will die.
Oh, will they die? Okay.
Secondary missions, soldiers and rookies are kind of the same.
Okay, so gotcha.
You lose two.
Gotcha. Yeah, if you have all soldiers, you get an extra die, so it makes it less likely, but they can die.
We have the Ember Grinning Lions that we took out on the last mission. if you want
to separate them back out though, yeah. Unless you want to make it permanent and just be like, no, you're all lions now.
Yeah. But you're going to send the lions out on the in Onyx Depths.
Yeah.
Cool. 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 Cool.
All right, just wanted to throw this out there. We could take a break and then just start with the engagement roll and jump to the action.
Yeah.
After that. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Awesome. All right.
I need liquids.
All right, folks, hang out with us. We'll see you again soon.
Yeah. Surprising absolutely no one, the quartermaster worked on clocks on clocks on clocks on clocks. And since Fort Klisko is the last place that we could supply up, we really made the most of it. And we got some Blackshot, we got some religious supplies. And I think next session we'll probably recruit some more rookies as well before we head out. So this was a much needed place. I'm glad we came here with supply. This is a tricky game, honestly, to master, I think. There's a lot of buffer. Strauss and John LL did a really good job of making sure that you don't need to make the perfect optimal move every time, that there are different strategies you can take and that you can fail fast and course correct, that you have tools at your disposal. That, just the same, that does not stop me at all from wanting to be as efficient as I possibly can. And there's lots of, even planning in advance, there's lots of questions in the moment that you sometimes, the way resources are spent is a fun game for me to play. I hope it's fun for people to listen to as I talk about what these laborers are doing and what these alchemists are doing and how all our different campaign actions are going forward. I'm excited for the next session. We'll sneak in and find out what's going on with the guard mechanique. We'll see you next time.